the words of Zechariah. If you've come from an Orthodox or a Roman Catholic or an Anglican background, that's maybe something that you've been doing. Actually, we've been saying these words every day for the last 4 weeks. Why on earth would you do that? Well, I want to think of two reasons why we would do that, why these words are so important. And here comes the first one. God keeps his promises. Now, are you wide awake? Slap the person beside you. No, don't slap the person beside you. Sort of give yourself a bit of a shake, because I want you to do some Bible study with me, okay? And this Bible study is really, really easy. The Bible study has one question, and the question is this. What are the Old Testament references that you can see in the passage that's going to appear? Put your Bibles down because it comes up here. Okay. So, hands up, first Old Testament reference, what do you see? Just shout it out. Verse 68, yeah. Praise be to the God of Israel. So that's the first one. Next one. 69. Who said Servant David? Well done, yeah. 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Excellent. Now, there were two before that. Redeem them. Excellent. Yeah, the word redeem is an Old Testament word. Anybody know what story that word redeem comes from? Way on early on. Anybody?
Judges.
Not Judges, before Judges?
Exodus.
You were at the 9 o'clock service.
Numbers?
Pardon? No, it was earlier than that. Johnny got it, but he was at the 9 o'clock service. So. It's Exodus. So redeeming means to set a prisoner free. And so Exodus, the children of Israel being set free from Egypt. Horn of salvation. Yeah, horn is an Old Testament word for strength. Strength of salvation. Anything else? Verse 70. Yeah? Holy prophets. Hard to miss. Who do you think Zechariah was talking about when he was talking about the holy prophets? Oh, come on, you know your Old Testament.
Isaiah,
yeah. Pardon? Moses, well done. It's not just the prophets that we see, or whose books are in the Old Testament, it's also Moses was considered a prophet. And so perhaps Zechariah was thinking about Moses as well. 71, salvation from our enemies. Just make a wee mental note of that, would you? We're going to come back to that. Okay, what else do you see? Old Testament references. You're really worrying me here. You know, I'm thinking for the next 6 months we're going to do Old Testament. 72, Holy Covenant. Yeah, our ancestors, remember Holy Covenant. 73, Old Testament reference.
Father Abraham.
And that's who God made the covenant with first and foremost, didn't he? And then 74, just a wee note, rescue us from the hand of our enemies. Please do make a note of that. I'm going to come back and think about that in a moment. I will not worry about that for a moment. Tons of Old Testament references. Zechariah's Christmas carol is jam-packed full of the Old Testament. Why? Zechariah is celebrating something. He's celebrating the fact that God keeps his promises. Would you turn to the person beside you and say, God keeps his promises? Just do that for a moment. That was whispered, by the way. That was it. Do you know, the 9 o'clock congregation were a lot more enthusiastic than you guys. Clearly not enough espresso coffee this morning. God keeps his promises, and Zechariah is celebrating the fact that God keeps his promises. And I guess what I want to say to you today is that we can as well. That we can celebrate the fact that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. That we can trust God and take him at his word. One of the names that's given to Christians is the name believer. Have you ever described yourself as I'm a believer? Or has anybody ever described you as, oh, he or she's a believer? But that's shorthand. It's shorthand. It's like a little summary. Because what they're actually saying, or what we are saying whenever we describe ourselves as a believer, is that we're saying we are a believer. We believe that God's word can be trusted. We believe that God keeps his promises. That's what's behind that word, believer. Part and parcel of our DNA as Christians is that we believe God keeps his promises. That's why we are called believers. And I want us just to think about that for 60 seconds before we go on, because that defines who we are. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this one, but sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel anxious. I wonder if you ever had that experience, but you wake up in the morning and immediately there's a sense of anxiety. Dave said something, I'm going to embarrass Dave now. Dave said something a couple of weeks ago when he was leading the service that I've been mulling over for the last couple of weeks. He was saying that anxiety is that sense, the fear that something's going to go wrong. Hope is that sense that something good is going to happen. And so this week, I've been sort of trying to coach myself a little this week. I've been talking to myself a lot. And whenever I have maybe I've woken up with a sense of anxiety, or maybe I have a sense of I'm anxious about something, I will stop myself and say, "Live time out." And remind myself that the God who lives within me, who has saved me, is the God who keeps his promises. And I want to take that anxiety and turn it around and hope that God will not hope and believe and trust and know with conviction, which is behind that sense of hope, that actually God is at work. And God's going to make a difference. That God is a God who keeps his promises. So if, like me, sometimes you struggle, you're nervous about a meeting, or you're anxious about something that's going to happen, or there's a big thing coming and you know it's got to go right, why don't you challenge that sense of anxiety and remind yourself that the God that we have is a God who keeps his promises. Last thing is that because God is a God who keeps his promises, there's hope. We can be not a people of anxiety. Was that me? No. All right. Was that? Okay, that's toddlers for you. That there's hope because God is a God who keeps his promises. God, that there is hope for us. Let's have a look at the second half of our passage. Who's Zechariah talking about when he says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High"? Who's he talking about?
John.
He's talking about John. This is the only look-in that John gets in Zechariah's Christmas carol. Will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him. John is often known as the forerunner. He goes before Jesus. And that was a familiar image in the day, in Jesus' day. If a king was coming to town, a forerunner was sent ahead. The forerunner's job was to prepare the way for the king. So John is preparing the way for Jesus. And how's he going to do this? How's he going to do it, verse 77? How's he going to do it? Knowledge of what?
Salvation.
And?
Forgiveness.
The knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Do you remember we highlighted a little bit earlier on the fact that Zechariah had used the word enemy twice? I wonder, did you find yourself asking yourself the question, I wonder what enemies Zechariah was talking about? Begin to get an insight into the enemies that Zechariah is talking about now. Which enemy is Zechariah talking about? Yeah, well done. Emily's just said ourselves. It's not the enemy out there, it's the enemy It's the enemy in here. That's the enemy that Zechariah is talking about. What is Jesus coming to do? Why is John coming to prepare the way for Jesus? Jesus has come to deal with the enemy in here. Many of you will know that All Saints, that I'm responsible not only for All Saints, but for a church up in Chapel Day called St. Peter's. And because I can't be in two places at once, we have a guest chaplain coming to stay for 2 weeks up in St. Peter's this Christmas. His name is Paul Cowley. I don't think anybody will have heard him. If you have done the marriage course, you will recognize him, recognize his face. Paul Cowley was awarded an MBE this year. Sort of says he's quite a special dude. But actually, he's 56, but actually, when he was 15 years old, he was arrested. And he spent a year in prison for theft. And whenever he came out of prison, he was basically a down and out for a number of months. And so he saw a poster, and the poster advertised joining the army. And Paul Cowley says that the army saved him. He went into the army, he was taught discipline, he was given clothes, he was given food. The gifts that he had were drawn, his gifts of leadership were drawn out of him. He finally became an officer. He left the army and he was ordained. Maybe he was ordained within the Church of England. And his ministry today is to ex-offenders. Ever heard of the Alpha Course? Well, Paul Cowley takes the Alpha Course into prisons. And the impact that Paul Cowley is making in prisons with the Alpha Course is huge, huge. See, Jesus came not to deal with the enemy out there, but to deal with the enemy in here. That's really good news for people like me. I don't know whether you'd put yourself in that category, but I have to tell you that's really, really good news for people like me. Jesus has come to do that. And Zechariah uses an astounding image. I love this image to describe Jesus. Because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Our kids got off school this week, which is really, really good news because it means we don't have to get up now at 6:15. It's 4:45 every morning. But whenever we get up at 6:45, it's pitch black outside. And sometimes I'll go into our living room, and we have a big window that looks down towards the valley. And I'll have a little devotional time, and if I get the timing right, as I do my devotional time, it goes from pitch black to dawn. And you can see the light of the sun just coming up over the mountains. And I have to say, I use that. I just sit there and I watch it happening. And I just remind myself of what Jesus is doing in me. That his light is coming into my darkness. That's why Jesus came. If you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, then you're wondering, what on earth does Jesus do when he comes to you? Well, this is what he does. He brings his light into your darkness, and he begins this journey of transformation. And what a journey that is. So no wonder people sing this song every day for 4 weeks. God keeps his promises, and because of that, there is hope for broken people. Hope for transformation and change. That the light of Jesus can come and transform. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I love your name. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you don't run away from us. Thank you that you don't take one look at our lives and say, oh no, that's too broken. That's too dirty. But you take a look at our lives and you say, I'm coming alongside you. My light is dawning upon you. We love your name. And thank you that it's true today, but it's true every day. And we want to invite you, Lord Jesus, your light to dawn more and more in our lives. We want to be transformed from broken people and to become more and more like you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.